A plan to save Major League Baseball in Wisconsin.
It's good for the taxpayers, it's good for the state, and it's good for the team.
Comes with a hefty price tag.
This will create a hole in our budget going forward that we were not expecting.
This week on Open Record,
we've got to stick up for the taxpayers of our community.
The $600 million pitch to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. From the Fox 6 studios, this is Open Record. I'm your host, Brian Polson. I'm joined by Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
And we are joined this week once again by Fox 6 political reporter, Jason Calvi. Thanks for coming in, Jason.
Thanks for having me on.
And Jason, I know you've been working a lot this week. Actually, Go back. We are recording this episode on Wednesday, September 20th, for release on Thursday, September 21st. Jason, earlier this week, you were at, Miller Park, American Family Field. Wisconsin's legislative Republicans delivered what really has to be one of the biggest pitches in Major League Baseball history in Milwaukee. It was a $600 million public financing plan to fix up American Family Field, ensure the team plays baseball in Milwaukee for at least another quarter of a century through 2050. So much ground to cover here, but tell me about what you heard the details. We finally get the GOP version of this plan. Mm-hmm. What's in the plan?
So it requires three pools of money that are going to be going into repairs of American Family Field. We can talk about exactly what those repairs, renovations, updates, improvements are later, but it's going to be state money. It's going to be more than $400 million, actually $411 million over the course of this lease, which would go through 2050. So $400 million state money. Then there's going to be a pocket of money from the city and county. Comes out to about $200 million for the city-county, more for the county. It'll be about $5 million a year for the county and about $2.5 million every single year for the city of Milwaukee. And then the Brewers are also going to contribute money over the course of this lease in addition to higher rent. So it comes out to, I did the math this morning, it's about $140 million for the Brewers over the course of the lease that they'll be putting forward for these renovations, updates, improvements, repairs.
Obviously, it's a lot of public money. And you said $400 million from the state, roughly, or more than $400 million. What's always interesting when you hear these kinds of conversations, and it's so funny, we're not in these conversations. We aren't the people. We aren't the power players. But when they're sitting at the table, the amounts they're talking about, they often, to try to make this palatable for everyone else, they say things like, well, if the Brewers weren't here, we wouldn't have this income. So this really isn't going to cost any money. Somehow they're selling us that $400 million isn't going to cost any money. What is their sell on that? What are they saying when they say that $400 million isn't coming out of our pocket?
So where it's coming from, and I have all these documents for those who are watching the video podcast at home, but the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is sort of the nonpartisan budgeting math, they're the really experts at the state level, nonpartisan experts at sort of figuring out budgets and things like that. And they estimate that the income tax that's coming to the state. So every time a Major League Baseball player plays baseball in Milwaukee, whether they're the home team or the opposing team, they pay a portion of their salary to Wisconsin as income tax. And that's the highest tax bracket because these people are making a killing.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. And so so the state contribution, so you're looking at that first year, $13 million, and then it ramps up to a maximum of $20 million a year from the state, is what is estimated to be coming from income tax. Actually, it's not the entirety of the income tax that's going to be coming to the state. So what Republicans said is it's about, what, two-thirds, I think, of, or a portion of the income tax money that comes to the state of Wisconsin will go back to American Family Field.
But, and I don't mean to jump ahead on this, but what strikes me about this is they're saying this is the amount of money we'll get from this deal. We're getting that money right now. Those players are coming to Wisconsin right now. So really the sell for this, if I'm hearing this right, Jason, tell me if I'm getting it wrong. The sell for this is all hinged on the fear that the Milwaukee Brewers will leave and go somewhere else. And that's we won't have baseball and we won't have this income tax. And we'll lose everything if we don't do this. So it really comes down to the question, how realistic is it that the Brewers are going to leave?
And that was what was very surprising when we heard Republicans talking about this proposal when they laid it out this week. We heard Representative Brooks say, he was one of the people that helped formulate this plan, that the Stadium Park District, that's the governmental body that owns the ballpark, It's a park district. They own the ballpark. It's a government body. And he said they're at risk of defaulting on the original Brewers lease. What is in the original Brewers lease? Well, that goes through 2030. The Brewers signed it. The park district signed it. And it says that the park district is going to pay for capital improvements. And they were going to keep that ballpark in the top 25% of ballparks competing with ballparks across the country. So when you look at those capital improvements, we're talking about the fact that now the stadium is more than 20 years old. And think about your own home. When you've got a furnace, when you've got air conditioners, how long do they last? A lot of these items inside, I went and toured the basement and I saw the guts of American Family Field. And we're looking at electrical circuits. We're looking at, for example, there's three main chillers that provide air conditioning to the parts of the building that are air conditioned. That's the clubhouses, that's the front offices, et cetera.
Having been to some games where the roof is closed in the summer, it's not the rest of the stadium.
Yeah, you're not getting at the rest of the stadium, but there are portions of the building that do have air conditioning capacity. There's three chillers that provide that air, and one of them's broken, and they've got a big, huge rental unit out front in the parking lot right now that they're using to chill. And the other ones are at the expected lifespan. So these things are getting to the point where they need to be replaced. Looking at some of the circuit, the electrical circuits in the building, they're reaching their max age as well. And when you look at those things, actually, they showed them to me. Some of the parts they can't even get anymore because they're now outdated. They're obsolete. And they're even going on eBay right now to purchase some of these parts that they need to replace and keep these things functioning. So what they're trying to say, if you look at the grand scheme of themes, the Brewers put together a commission to study, looked at how much needs to go into these renovations and repairs. And I use the word renovation. That doesn't mean we're slapping paint on the wall. We're talking about repairs of critical infrastructure. And the Brewers commission study found $428 million was required to get this place back up to standards. And for example, looking at the numbers, that'd be, you know, $105 million for architecture, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, fire protection, that's $55 million. And it goes on and on. I mean, we're talking about concrete as well. If you walk around, you're going to see right now, if you walk around American Family Field, you're going to see construction crews replacing the concrete because as it ages over the course of 20 years, this is all original, starts cracking, it starts rising, right? You know how we've got these winters where temperatures fluctuate and it makes the concrete sort of buckle. So that's a safety hazard. They're actually replacing that they're replacing chunks of it at a time. But all of that's going to need to be replaced in the coming years as well. And these are all going to add up. That's what the Brewers are saying they need the money for, $428 million. And according to that original lease that the Park District signed with the Brewers, the board is the one that's going to pay for those capital improvements. And right now, it's a question of how much is in the bank, $10 million, $70 million. But that's not going to cover $428 million to do all of these repairs and other things to keep that ballpark within the top 25 in the country, 25% of the country.
So I'm a Milwaukee County taxpayer. So I see that the stadium has this $1.6 billion team and it's a government building, you know, lease and all that stuff. So why tap the taxpayers? What do they all have to do with this?
And that's when we ask that question, you know, the Brewers president of business operations will say, it's part of the obligation. You know, the park district, that government body signed on the dotted line that they were going to provide for the capital improvements, not the Brewers, but the park district. So there's a contract. It goes through 2030. And that's why Representative Brooks and others on the Republican side were saying there's a risk here of a default, because if that park district cannot replace critical infrastructure, we're talking about electrical, plumbing, heaters, boilers, chillers, the Brewers could potentially say, oh, you guys can't provide us a major league ballpark. We're going to leave town. You broke the lease. We're going to leave and go to one of these other cities that's looking for a baseball team right
that
now.
That leverage is the thing that, and this is happening right now in Milwaukee, but this happens in city after city after city across the country. You all well know I'm from St. Louis. The St. Louis Rams came from L.A. They were there for 20 years. They had a lease, and the owner was looking to make bank. He knew that going back to Los Angeles would make him, he was already a multi-billionaire, it would make him even bigger multi-billionaire, and it worked. And he did that because of the terms of the lease. It was one of those where the stadium had to be in the top whatever percent. And that's what I seized on. When you said the lease that we have, I say we, that the city of Milwaukee, the county, that the stadium district has actually with the Brewers, says that it's got to remain sort of in the top 25%. And I don't know who evaluates what the top 25% is and on what criteria. But I'm assuming the other major league clubs have these same deals. And if everyone has a lease that says it's got to be in the top 25%, then aren't we just always constantly keeping up with the Joneses? Is this set up by design so that Major League Baseball can use its leverage to say, you got to keep improving these ballparks and making the experience better, and you pay for it and get taxpayers on board? Is it designed to work this way?
And that's one of the criticisms that Milwaukee County Supervisor Ryan Clancy has raised. He said, listen, we all can't be the top in the whole country. Like, how is this even possible? It's not some fantasy land where everybody's above average. If an average is what it is, then some are below average, right? So that's one of his criticisms. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, they don't agree. You know, there's oftentimes where they have very contentious votes. There's one thing that they were unanimous on when they passed a resolution saying they don't want any county money, county taxpayer money, going to repairs of American Family Field. And now, according to the Republican plan, they would be forced to do it, because if you look at the terms in the Republican plan, it requires Milwaukee County and Milwaukee City to put forward this money every single year. And let's just say the common council and the county board, they say, we're not going to pay, we're not paying. Well, the money's still going to come, because it says in the text of the bill that that money will be docked from the county or city's share of shared revenue. That's the money that the state gets, then sends back to the counties and cities and municipalities. So pretty much, this would require the city, county, to pay that money every year. Or if they don't pay it, it's going to be docked from their shared revenue. So it's going to be paid one way or the other.
What did the Brewers have to say about this after the Republican lawmakers launched their plan on Monday? Did the Brewers have a response to this?
Yep, they did, and they seemed pretty happy with this proposal. If it passed as is, this would be something that they would support, keep them here through 2050. But also provide them with winterizing American Family Field.
So what does that mean?
So,
I mean, I know we winterize our stuff, like our lawnmowers stuff. Like, what does that mean?
So right now, when you look at American Family Field, it's closed for the cold months. I mean, which is, in Wisconsin's quite a
forever.
Right? It seems like it's the whole year.
Yeah.
But so right now, there can't be, it'd be very difficult to have events during the winter time. So what winterizing would do is it would provide heat inside that building to have events year round. So
potentially
it was kind of interesting, because the Republicans, when they laid it out, they're like, you know, we can have monster truck rallies, or we could have big concerts, or, you know, they could have basketball games or hockey, NHL Winter Classic there. Yeah. So this would, the winterizing, and there's actually a dollar allotment, it would be $25 million from the state. So the state is investing into $25 million into winterizing the stadium, which would allow events to be held there over the winter months, like the ones I mentioned potentially.
So this is over and above the repairs and everything. This is an additional part of the plan, is that right?
$25 million is included in the state's $411 million that they put forward. But it would be, hey, we're investing this money up front, you got to winterize it, and the Brewers said that, you know, seemed excited about that. They would, at least when I talked with them, it seems like they would be in charge of booking the events, so they would be in charge of booking it and potentially benefit them, because they'd be selling concessions, they'd have parking. All those things are going to bring in money to the Brewers as well by hosting these outside events there.
You know, one of the things that strikes me is we've all gone to ball games, and we all know what the price of, you know, nachos and beer and other things is at the ballpark. You pay for your tickets, you pay for parking, you pay for all of these things, you buy jerseys. And now we're being asked as taxpayers to also supplement the cost of fixing this ballpark. What is the stake the Brewers have in this? What do they have to pay? Or do they just have all the leverage and they're not paying a dime here?
So the Brewers will be paying some. They will, mainly they're going to be committing to staying through 2050. So, you know, Speaker Voss said they're, are possible places that they could be going that would maybe be more lucrative. Like you mentioned, St. Louis, it's a smaller city. Then they went to LA, which is a larger city. So they're probably going to make more money in LA than they did in St. Louis.
Yeah, you look at the value of sports franchises, they've just gone ballistic. So I imagine that the ownership group of the Milwaukee Brewers could certainly make a lot of money going to some other city. Think of a Nashville that would pay huge amounts of money to have them there. And their valuation might go up very quickly because it's a larger market. So they're certainly potentially sacrificing some short-term gain to invest in Milwaukee.
Right. So they're getting a long-term commitment of, you know, state and county and city resources, keeping that ballpark up through 2050. The Brewers then would also be upping their rent. They would be paying an additional $140 million. I did the math this morning, $140 million over the course of that lease, you know, millions of dollars every year that they would be putting into the ballpark district that would then go to what we're talking about here, these repairs and other updates at the stadium.
Now, this is a GOP plan. So a lot of times, it took a long time to get to the point where they had this deal to present. But I'm hearing a lot of people already talk about what could have happened as though it's past tense. Well, the Brewers could have left or they could have defaulted. The fact is, this isn't a done deal yet. There's still some things that have to happen. We know Governor Evers had a proposal in his original budget package that Republicans didn't like. So they came up with their own. What are the odds the sides are going to come together? And is that all it takes here? Is it just the GOP and Governor Evers have to come together and that's it? Do the city and county have to make some votes? What has to happen here?
Is a deal brewing is the question. And at the end of the day, the door is open. The Democratic governor, when that Republican proposal came out, his spokeswoman said it was unfortunate that Republicans didn't accept the governor's original plan, which was laid out back in February. That plan was to invest $290 million of the budget surplus. We had billions of dollars in budget surplus estimated in the state of Wisconsin. The governor said, hey, let's take $290 million, put it into these repairs, and then it'll be a lump sum payment. So it'll go in the bank, and then it will develop interest, and you'll have all this money to be able to afford all the repairs that are needed.
Did that come with any commitment to stay longer?
Yeah, that would have stayed. Okay. So it was 13 years, so it would have stayed through 2043.
Okay.
So governor's plan, lump sum, $290 million, stay through 2043. Republican plan is yearly contributions from the state, county, city. So it adds other pools of money. It requires money from the Brewers. It also requires money from the city and the county, which was not in the governor's proposal. And it also keeps the Brewers here through 2050 as opposed to the governor's 2043. So those are sort of the main ballpark figures of what...
ballpark figures.
Of what the differences are between the governor's plan and the Republican plan. Of course, some people would look at those ballpark figures and say, well, governor's was 290. The Republican plan is actually 600 when you factor in $400 million coming from the state and $200 million coming from the county. Republicans counter and say, well, at the end of the day, you know, you have to have all this other buy-in. And at the end of the day, what the state is contributing under the governor's plan would be similar to what the Republicans are when you factor in the interest that it would be developing with that initial investment of $290 million that the governor laid out.
You know, we do these things. I always think I should wait until this is over before we title the podcast because ballpark figures would have been a great title for this podcast.
Here we are. The one thing, though, okay, so, you know, all these numbers, and I can't even fathom how much money that actually is. But the GOP lawmakers say that this plan that they have is actually more cost effective and more efficient than letting the team leave. How does that math work out?
Yeah. So this is, I mentioned the Fiscal Bureau, sort of the nonpartisan gold standard of budget estimating for the state of Wisconsin through the legislature, and got their document here. And it says under a possible 27-year lease extension beginning in 2024 through 2050, the state and local tax revenues, so that's income tax for the state and then sales tax for local governments as well as the state, would total, because of having an MLB team in Milwaukee, would total $887 million. They're looking at the fact that there was a study. Let me pull this one out. This is a study from the MMAC, and it was done in 2020.
Metro Milwaukee, Association of Commerce, is that
right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Business group.
Yeah. So their study found that, look at this, the percentage of people from out of Milwaukee County that are coming to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. Out-of-state attendees, 14%. State of Wisconsin, non-Milwaukee County attendees, 48. So 48 plus 14.
62.
62% of people going to the ballpark are from outside of Milwaukee County. So the Fiscal Bureau now is taking those numbers and saying, well, it's obvious that people are coming to the ballpark that are not normally going to be coming to Milwaukee. And so they're factoring in this $887 million in income tax as well as sales tax generated specifically because there's a Major League Baseball team in Milwaukee. Now, people would debate that. There's scholars out there that would say at the end of the day, people are not spending more. They have a flexible amount of money that they're using for entertainment. And it's either going to go to a movie or it's going to go to the ballpark. But at the end of the day, because of people are coming from outside of the county, they might go to their local movie theater, but they're coming to Milwaukee for the baseball game, or they're coming from out of state. The Fiscal Bureau is estimating that $887 million would come to the state over the course of this lease, 27-year lease extension through 2050.
And that's more money, obviously, than taxpayers are being asked to pay. So they're saying there's a net gain. Mm-hmm. I still come back to the fact that that's all predicated on the idea that the Brewers would leave otherwise. And if the Brewers leave, this is what we lose, which comes back to a question. And I've got some other things I want to address. I want to talk about the idea of what people are spending outside the ballpark. You just reported, we've reported on this issue of the beer district. We'll come back to it. But what are you getting this? I know you asked a lot of people, a lot of politicians this week, this question. How close have the Brewers actually come to leaving? Is this sort of false leverage, or were they really like, we've got a plan, we want to go to, you know, Oregon or Nashville or whatever? How close are they to really leaving Milwaukee?
And that was my question for Brewers President Rick Schlesinger. How close were you to leaving? He wouldn't answer. He said, listen, we're excited about staying. I followed up, but how close were you to leaving? I answered the question. So they weren't willing to say how close they were. Those are the things that are happening. If it is being brought up, which I think it is, it's happening behind the scenes, and Republicans alluded to the fact that that lease could have been broached or breached in a year, possibly, because the stadium district's running out of money and the lease requires them to pay for major improvements to the ballpark. So
I'll be the skeptic who says those leaks, and because it's never Rick Schlesinger getting out there and saying we're going to leave. Yeah. There's leaks and there's a story, and a story says the Brewers are going to leave, wherever those come from. Those work better when you're trying to get a deal than once you have a deal. Mm-hmm. You don't want to threaten to leave when you think you have a deal, because now we're all friends. Yeah. But it does make you wonder, was there ever really a plan to skip town, or was this a threat to get money? And I think that's the question, taxpayers, because there are a lot of people. I mean, I look at the people who are at the table, the people who are negotiating this. They're power brokers. They're the Brewers. They're the Republican lawmakers. They're the governor. They're business groups. But the taxpayers don't have a seat at the table. I mean, you know, they're elected representatives in theory are representing them.
Right.
But they don't have a, there's not a specific person there. But there are a lot of people who think the wisdom of public financing of major league ballparks and all sports is not so great. And I do wonder if, you know, how important that dangling of the threat is to getting this job done. It seems like it moved the ball here pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. And we see that there's proposals on both the Democratic side and the Republican side. Now, the question is what's going to happen in the legislature, because Senate, on the Senate side, you have Democrats and Republicans that are going to be opposed to public financing, what is seen as public financing of a wealthy company. Now, of course, Republican Speaker Voss says this money's not going to the Brewers, it's going to the Park District, which is the state body that owns the ballpark. But at the end of the day, the optics of it are that this is, you know, as the critics say, the critics had a billboard up that said, you know, no subsidies for wealthy out-of-state billionaires or whatever, millionaires, whatever they are. So there's going to be critics here. There's a possibility that this could be gummed up in the Senate. You know, there could be some very serious debates, or potentially they'll come back to and make pitches again, come back to figuring out how they're going to do this, because I know the governor was a little critical when he put out a statement, said he's going to continue those conversations with the Republicans, but he also was worried about what this was asking of the local communities. We didn't talk about that, but just yesterday I was talking with the Alders, Common Council aldermen and women about the Brewers deal. And, you know, just remember 1 year ago when the shared revenue package, the sales tax wasn't on the
fiscal books. Crisis.
Yeah.
They're literally the mayor's budget last year had proposed big cuts to libraries as well as to a police engine. 1.5 police engines were going to be closed. And then, you know, they had the American Rescue Act money that kind of plugged some of the holes in the budget. So they were able to divert or postpone these big budget cuts. Now this year, totally different story. Now we've got in 2024, January 1st, that income tax, the local sales tax will be implemented, 2% for the city of Milwaukee, bringing in $184 million estimated this upcoming year. And so that's going to plug a lot of holes. And so
that vote on the sales tax was predicated on certain calculations,
right?
Right. And now this gums up those calculations.
Yeah. Now it says, okay, now you have to pay $2.5 million city and $5 million county. every single year. And they were just saying, we don't, you know, we're having a budget crisis. Now we finally don't have the budget crisis, but now we got to factor in these things we weren't factoring in. So the governor, I think, is going to push back on that local contribution. But that is something that Republicans said they needed to see in this deal. They needed to see a local contribution because they said Milwaukee's going to benefit the most from having this.
Well, and all these numbers, too. And I think about, which I'm glad this is on here, too, is that back when Miller Park was being built after County Stadium, there was a 5-county sales tax. People grumbled about it. It was a lot of hubbub. But this isn't happening this time.
Right. And that was what's interesting about the memo from the Legislative Reference Bureau regarding this Republican bill. It says, I'm just going to read it. I'm going to throw it out there. We can talk about it later. Current law authorizes a district to issue bonds for the purpose of constructing, improving, and managing baseball park facilities. Current law authorizes the district to impose a sales and use tax at a rate of no more than 0.1%. So current law authorizes the district to issue bonds for the purpose of constructing, which it's already constructed, but improving and managing the ballpark. Now, the stadium board, they retired that 5-county sales tax in the year 2000.
Which was controversial from the start, right?
Yeah, controversial from the start. People were recalled because of it. But in 2020, they retired that sales tax, that 5-county sales tax for the stadium. It's gone away. It's done. But according to this reference bureau memo here, the park district still has that ability. So the question is, you know, is that still on the table? I have not heard anybody mention it. And this is, it says it's still a possibility.
Maybe I'm making assumptions, but Republican lawmakers are working on this deal with all the players involved. And I would imagine that if you look at the counties, they said, sure, let's have Milwaukee County contribute. The WOW counties, which make up a large portion of the rest of those 5 counties, are heavily Republican voting counties. They may well have said, if we're going to make this deal work, we can't bring that back. Mm-hmm. Politically speaking, that would be a deal killer. Do you think that's why that's not in there?
Right. And specifically, the Republican proposal says they can never again do a sales tax. So it actually, right now, there seems to be this ability possibly that the board could implement the sales tax, at least through my reading of it. It says it's still, they retired the tax, it's gone away, but at least according to state statute right now, there is a possibility that they could impose a sales tax if they really wanted to, I think. I'm not 100% confirmed on that, but just laying out the clear text of the Reference Bureau memo, current law authorizes the district to impose a sales tax. Is it going to be imposed? I've not heard anybody talk about that.
You're just looking at the language.
Don't think it's happening. Yeah. I'm just saying it's still in there. And at the same time, it is very unpopular. You know, I remember when there was debate about getting rid of it in early 2020 and going to Racine County and talking to people down there, and they were upset about having to pay that 0.1% every time they went to the restaurant, every time they went shopping, every time they went to buy clothes or go to the movies.
One last thing I want to wrap this up with is the question of what people spend when they come to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And we heard the mayor of Milwaukee step up and say, okay, you want this extra contribution from us? Well, Milwaukee Brewers, we don't want a big sea of parking out there anymore. Yeah. We want to see you develop that. And if you look at what the Bucks have done with the Deer District, the great success that they have had with the development in that area. I mean, when somebody comes from out of town, where do you want to take them now? Yeah. Hey, let's go see the Deer District. Yeah. It's obviously been a great place to attract people downtown. The mayor says, we want to see the Beer District, and we've heard that phrase thrown out before, but he wants to see development around the ballpark, use up some of that parking space. The Brewers are not so hot on that idea.
Right. No. So Rick Schlesinger said that, you know, he wants to be protective of what he called tailgating culture.
And that's very real in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the mayor pushed back on that and said, listen, you can have both. He said they have, and this is his words, Mayor Johnson, they have a lot of parking. They have a lot of parking. You know, he said they are smart enough to come up with a way to have parking sufficient enough for all the visitors as well as tailgating and then having development there. So what he's talking about is like we see in the Deer District. He pointed to Titletown outside Lambeau. He talked about Camp Randall as well. It's sort of, listen, you don't have to look far to see ideas of how this could potentially look. Hotels, restaurants, bars, even housing, you know, potentially housing, apartments, et cetera, could all be on that, on their, acreage that they have there. That's a lot for parking. Right now, they have, the county estimates there's 13,000 parking spots at American Family Field. And just compare that with Disney World's Epcot Center.
Came up with that, I got to say, from a political standpoint, that's quite a comparison. More parking than Epcot?
Epcot Center. Yeah, Epcot has about 11,000. American Family Field has 13,000.
So they're going to build a monorail and get people to the stadium. That takes us to the streetcar. That's a whole different story. In any case, the idea, though, is he's looking at, or the mayor wants to see a hybrid. He wants to see entertainment district. And because I can't see losing tailgating at Miller Park. Right. It's maybe as ingrained in the Brewers baseball experience as any other part, even the game itself.
And just to, you know, defend or to present the argument against, or at least some of the criticisms of potential beer district, is the fact, at least Tim Sheehy yesterday, who's the park board chairman, he said, look, when you look at the numbers from this report I mentioned from the MMAC, 62% of the people are from outside of Milwaukee County. So they're driving in. They're driving in from Chicago for the Cubs games, et cetera. They're driving in from around the entire state, from the Wow counties, et cetera. And so they do, you know, he said, we need parking, you know, and do they need 13,000 spots? When you guys go, is how many spots are open? I don't know. But the Brewers say they want to protect that culture. And he was, you know, Schlesinger was still open to the idea of somewhere down the road having some development on the parking lots. He said, you know, I'm watching these proposals. They're very interesting. But at the end of the day, is it going to happen today? No. Could it happen in the future? Maybe.
Before we go off the record, I thought about this. This process started before the season began, so I can't say that they planned it this way. But I do wonder if the parties involved in trying to get this deal through are extra happy that the Brewers are looking like a playoff team. Yeah. Because if this was a last place team right now, can you imagine the blowback over spending this kind of money? But you've got a playoff team. There's excitement. There's emotion tied, positive emotion tied into the team. Probably a better time to try to sell something like this than when the team stinks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's a good time for us to go off the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun by answering a question for which we have not prepared. And to ask that question, of course, Sarah Smith.
Jason Calvi, let me tell you first, really enjoy the beard.
Is the question about facial hair?
No, but I enjoy it. I don't ever have any other venue to tell you. I mean, I guess I could just text you.
You could just
like
tell
a normal
them in the
person. Like, hey, but now I've told nice all of the people. Okay. Not the off the record question, though. I know we talk a lot about
food. I'm looking
food.
At your note and it's going to make me laugh because I thought it actually said best type of beard. It does not.
Oh, well, that's
it
funny.
Does not.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Funny.
All right,
okay.
Anyway.
So actually it just says best type of bread. What is your favorite bread? Because gosh, isn't bread so good?
Yeah, bread is good. It's not necessarily great for you, but boy, it's fantastic.
No, I don't disagree. My college roommate used to say, the whiter the bread, the quicker you're dead. And it lives in my head rent-free. It doesn't mean I don't enjoy a good white bread, grilled cheese or something.
Bread can be too much. Like when you're having a burger or a sandwich, the bread overtakes. It's too much. So there are certain types of bread I'm not a fan of.
But it also stinks when it's like not enough.
For me, if I had to say I think of like bread in association with a sandwich of some kind.
Yes.
And for me, like just a hot buttered croissant with like, you know, sausage and cheese or something. Oh my gosh. That might be... Or even just a plain hot buttered croissant. That is, that's heaven.
Yeah, but then you've got crumbs in your lap because they're all flaky.
But isn't that true with most breads, though? Maybe not all, but
Going focaccia. Nice, warm, right out of the oven. It's got the herbs. It's got some olive oil on the top. Okay. So, you know.
Oh, do you dip it in like oil?
Sure. And lots of butter.
Lots of butter.
I don't know what kind of bread this is that my wife bakes in the oven, but it's like it's big, so you cut it in the pieces.
Sourdough,
like
maybe.
Well, she definitely does sourdough, which is awesome too. It's kind of an acquired taste, and sometimes the kids are a little like, I don't like the sourdough, but when it comes right out of the oven and you and it's hot and you put the slab and just butter it up, that is so awesome.
Like the action there, if you're watching the video version, slapping the butter. Like you're not just spreading.
I mean,
you're splattering.
It's hot. It just goes right on there. It's like
just.
I'm picturing this is actually how Jason butters the bread.
That's right.
He's violent.
It's also how he shaves. That's right. That's why
that's
we
why
stopped
you
shaving
why
it. Right.
Missed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, whenever if you're at a restaurant and they bring out the bread and they will have like one of those restaurants that has three or four different types of bread, oh. You're like, oh, great. And there's always like the one with the really like hard crust, and that's no good.
No.
But one that's nice
but
and soft.
But it's
got
to have a, the bread has to have a good mix of like a good crunchy crust, but a soft in the middle.
Yeah, but it can't be too I feel like if you bite into it and it hurts your gums, that's too crispy.
Like dry crepting crunch.
That's why I like whatever this thing is that my wife makes, because the outside is nice and crunchy, but there's this big, huge middle section that's nice and soft. And awesome. Speaking of the restaurant breads, the one with the seeds, that's the one I'm going to go to. Like it looks like it's whole wheat, but it's got all the seeds in it.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like a multi,
It's probably a multi-grain.
Yeah, it's like a multi-grain, but it's like healthy and you're still
Okay, I have two of those.
You're a culinary guy. Do you bake bread or no?
I have attempted it a few times. So now I attempted it, an Italian loaf. It didn't rise. It was basically flatbread, but it was still delicious.
Flatbread's still good.
And then now we bake focaccia bread. We have a special gluten-free flour that we use by, I won't say it, but because we're not sponsored. But
we could get a sponsor. We could get a bread sponsor.
Ooh. We could. Now we make this focaccia bread that it's amazing and fluffy, and if you would not know it,
do you get to do this with your fingers on it?
Yes.
Oh, that's like.
But you have to, you got to put all the olive oil on
there.
Like
a massage.
But yes, you do the push.
It's like a bread massage.
You know what I'm realizing is in this conversation is what actually makes bread good is butter or olive oil.
Yes.
I mean that's what makes bread.
Well, truly, bread's just the vessel. Like whatever you put on it, it's the best.
Absolutely. Well, we've resolved another food question that is that but focaccia bread or something good and soft with a nice crispy crust is the answer.
With lots of butter.
Slap
of
butter.
And you slap the butter on. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss on Open Record or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, send your emails to fox6investigators@fox.com. Sarah, as always, thank you. Jason, both of you, thanks again.
I jumped right in.
And cut you right off.
The head nod.
So that seemed insincere.
Then I made a weird mouth voice.
Thank you, Sarah. Jason, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Anytime.
As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, including our editor, Dave Machuda, and the man behind the switcher, Kale Zimney. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll see you next week.